But a dog just doesn't rise to the meaning of this constellation. And Canis Major and the symbol of the dog is a later addition. Sirius was by the ancients always associated with great heat. In the Dendera zodiac, which is the ancient Egyptian one, he is called by a name which means the head. He is pictured as a hawk, caused to come forth, coming swiftly down. And you know the hawk is the natural enemy of the serpent. In the Persian planisphere, they begin to change it. And it was pictured as a wolf. Plutarch translates it leader. Its ancient names and meanings must be obtained, therefore, since it passed through its earliest picture as a hawk to a wolf to a dog, which waters down the power of its meaning. You will find the consistent meaning in the names of the stars. There are 64 altogether. Two are of the first magnitude. Of these, the one in the head is the brightest star in the whole heaven. There you are. Sirius, the brightest star in the whole heaven. It is called Sirius, the Prince. Originally, Sar. And that's why I say we get Sir from it. Always associated with great heat. And the hottest part of the year, we still call the dog days from that association. Virgil says that Sirius with pestilential heat infects the sky. Homer spoke of it as a star whose burning breath taints the red air with fevers, plagues, and death. But it is not of its heat that its name speaks, but of the fact that it is the brightest of all the stars. Though this dog star came to have an ill-omened association, it was not so in the more ancient times. In the ancient Akkadian, it is called by a name which means the leader or prince of the heavenly host. In the sacred books of Persia, the name means the chieftain of the east. The next star in the left forefoot, Muzam, means the prince or ruler. The bright star in the body, right down here, three bright stars, the one in the mouth, the left foot, and now in the body, means the bright and the shining. The next bright star in the right hind leg means the glorious. Other names have meanings such as this: who shall come? The prince, the chief of the right hand, the prince, the mighty, the leader, the chief. Nowhere in the names of the stars is there a conflicting voice, no discord in the testimony. The names of the stars themselves have no necessary connection to the hawk or the dog. But the stars would suggest that the more ancient ones were the accurate ones, the hawk. Now, this dog is part of the Gemini constellation, and I haven't yet finished Taurus. I leap to it to just illustrate that each of these signs, in their own way, as we move into the four major zodiacal constellations that convey the day of judgment, when the realization of the wrath of God on this sinning world and the enemy of God, Satan, and his cohorts, that's where the prince of this world, when he was in control through mythology and other things, would paint over the image and distort it. And he painted over the symbol of the prince that in the most ancient, the symbol of the leader, the symbol of the bright and shining one, the symbol of the one that comes with great heat to execute righteous judgment, suddenly is shifted from the hawk to the wolf to the dog, but through the picture that is painted over Canis Major, you still see the reality in the names of the stars and the most ancient zodiac. That'll be true in all the cases, and that's why I have to go more slowly with these final signs than I did earlier. We've already talked the essence of this first of the final four zodiacal signs. Taurus, the bull, charges on the scene. I want that camera. That'll help you. Taurus charging on the scene. The bull, get up here with his horns. And the bright star in his horn is also the star in the foot of that other symbol of our Lord, wounded in the foot. Here he comes charging with power and majesty, and riding on his neck the Pleiades, and the sister constellations, the Hyades, safe and secure as he comes in power and wrath. Now, we've taught on that. I don't want to go through it again. We just weren't able to show the pictures very clearly. But this day of judgment unfolds in this sign of Taurus is further elaborated by the decans that surround Orion, the mighty man who holds in his head, I keep forgetting, this is the camera you got to use, Mike, sorry, who holds in his hand the head of the roaring lion, the devil that's run to and fro seeking whom he may devour, with the club in his hand, with the interesting sword. Get in close on the sword, which from time immemorial has had the head of a lamb on the hilt and a cross formed by that sword. 1 foot over the head of the enemy, which is another sign that the modern painters over of the star have turned into a hare. Now, Orion is a decan of Taurus, but his foot is over this hare, which is not a hare at all. It's the enemy. It's a snake. Out of his foot breaks forth the river of the judge, which is the river of fire, pouring right out of his foot. And the names of the stars let you tell which is the mouth and which is the source. The name of the star at the bottom gives you the name which lets you know it's the emptying portion. As the names at the start of that river of fire that streams across the heavens, the names of the stars tell you it starts there. The foot of Cetus, the sea monster, trying to hold it back, but to no avail. This decan tells of him coming in judgment and power. The bull charges on the scene, his saints, the Pleiades, and we've talked on it. You know, some call that star in the Pleiades maybe the center of the heavens. I don't know. The safe place. But the bull charges on the scene. Orion, the mighty man, is another picture of his victorious ability to win the victory and seize the head of the lion. The river of fire comes out of his foot where he's smashing the hare that's part of another constellation. And we come to Auriga the shepherd, which is where I left off. We've had the picture of the mighty bull rushing forth in the fiery river of the judge. Now we see a great shepherd. He is seated upon the Milky Way, holding up on his left shoulder a she-goat. She clings to his neck. Here she is. She clings to his neck and is looking frightfully back down here toward charging Taurus the bull. Back off if you can a bit, Mike. So there you got it. So you can get the angle of her look as she looks down in fear to charging Taurus and is hanging on to the neck of the shepherd. Now, she clings to his neck. In his left hand, he supports two little kids. Origa, he's called, is from a Hebrew root which means a shepherd. It's a beautiful constellation of 66 stars, one of the first magnitude and so on. The brightest star in the body of the goat points her out as the prominent feature of the constellation. Its name in Hebrew means a she-goat, this brightest star. The next star in the shepherd's right hand, the next brightest star in the shepherd's right hand, means band or chain. And one of the meanings is chain of the goats. Points out the truth. They're not down there being chained anymore. They're in his arms. The name of another star means a flock of goats. Can there be any mistake, Bullinger says, as to who this shepherd is? For the bright star in his right foot is called Elnath, like another in Aries, which means wounded or slain. And I'll have you notice I pointed it out earlier. That's also at the point. It fits into two constellations. But the star in the foot of this shepherd means the wounded or slain. The star marking the kids in Hebrew simply translates kids. Now in Latin, the same word carried over. The Hebrew root of Origa is shepherd, but in Latin the word means coachman or charioteer. The band in his right hand being taken as his reins. But the incongruity of a charioteer carrying a she-goat and nursing two little kids never struck the Romans. They apparently weren't bothered by the fact that the charioteer had no chariot and no horses. And as Bullinger says, when man blunders in the things of God, he does it pretty thoroughly. In the zodiac of Dendera, more than 4,000 years ago, ancient Egypt, the man, instead of carrying the sheep, is carrying a scepter, which means scepter and power. But it's a strange scepter, for at the top it has the head of a goat, and at the bottom and below it ends in a cross. You keep tracing these symbols back. You can follow the way in which the original meanings keep being distorted until it gets from the shepherd who died for his sheep and now holds them to a charioteer with reins and no wagon and no horse. And Bullinger's right. These three signs, and one of the things I've recommended another little book on to you, Kenneth C. Fleming, and lots of people think that ordinary traditional churchmen don't get on these subjects. Most of these people I'm reading are ordinary traditional churchmen. This is probably one of the better little books, Kenneth C. Fleming, God's Voice in the Star, Zodiac Signs and Bible Truth. Fleming was converted as a boy through ministry featuring slides of Pilgrim's Progress. After graduation from the University of Washington in Seattle, he spent 25 years as a missionary among the Zulu people in South Africa. Since 1977, he has been instructor in Bible and missions at Emmaus Bible School, Oak Park, Illinois. So, you know, those that think that looking at the signs in the heavens is going off the deep end only prove their ignorance. These signs were God's signs, if Enoch is correct, given to Enoch. He gave the names to man. That's why we can't find. You have to probe past the flood in ancient antiquity. And we have no history past the flood in ancient antiquity that will give us this story. They were just always there. What you see is the changing of the names as they go down. But this little book, one thing good about it is it does, though it's black and white, it's black on white instead of the reverse. I need the whole page, Mike. This book, at the start of each chapter, gives you the full picture with the ecliptic equator of the room in the heavens that goes through the main zodiacal sign, in this case, Taurus. And then the decans, from which we get deck, the pieces on each side, being shown in relationship to the centerpiece of that zodiacal section or chapter in the last four, which will be Taurus and Gemini, Cancer and Leo, which all convey the Day of Judgment. Now, Taurus in the center is elaborating its meaning of God through His Son charging on the scene as the wild bull to execute judgment and vengeance. Who is that Son of Man who comes club in hand to seize the head of the lion, though bruised in the heel, to crush the evil one that's part of another sign, as we'll see later. And from His foot and the crushing comes that river of fire, Eridanus. And safe and secure, and interestingly enough, on the upper side of the ecliptic. And many times in the zodiacal signs, you'll find the lower side teaches the truth. That altar that pours out hell fire pours downward. This river of fire flows downward. Flows downward. The mighty man to seize the head of that lion, he moves downward and the bull charges downward. But the sheep are safe in the arms of the shepherd. No longer bound as they were in the earlier signs where they are in the sign of Pisces, bound, or the chained woman on this earth. They are safe and secure in the arms of the shepherd. And this Day of Judgment continues into the second chapter, into the sign of Gemini. Gemini, the twins. What in the world does that convey? With the surrounding decans of the big dog and the little dog and the victim, which we will talk about. That's where we are next time. Again, as you will notice, this preacher has changed the sign and given a better symbol for Sirius than the dog, because the Persians changed the eagle to the wolf, or the hawk to the wolf, and the wolf was changed by the Greeks and the Romans into the dog. It is the prince, the powerful one. So all of these books would be useful, and on this subject, because I won't be, once we've covered it, I want to use it in relationship to Stonehenge and in relationship to a return to Enoch and in relationship to the pyramids. You don't really need all the books. I'm doing the work. But for those that want to know, this one will give you the mythological stories that have been derived from it. Fleming will give you one of the better Christian presentations, but he makes a couple of very serious errors, in my judgment, that we will correct as we go along. Bullinger is the ancient classic on it, and Capt is the one we've given you. Now, that takes us through Taurus, which I was determined to finish tonight. Shall I finish with Gemini and with Cancer and with Leo, or just leave us hanging on this? And I think I know what the answer is. Hopefully, this week, we'll finish the stars by Sunday so we can then build on these building blocks and go forward. Well, it's time to go home. And I'm going to make you call me. I know you're there. We had a good time tonight. I did. Hope you did. Be watching 8 o'clock tomorrow night. I finished Taurus. Now we can get on with Gemini next time. What is Gemini? The twins. They've been distorted by the Greeks into lovers. I'll have more to say about it than that come tomorrow night. Good night, everybody. See you tomorrow night, 8 o'clock.